is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Welcome to the show.
Next on News for the Soul, Love and Healing Solutions with Beth and Gil. Gil and Beth show people how spiritual truth can help you heal from emotional pain resulting in personal transformation. Gil is a highly skilled pastor who raised up two megachurches in Colorado, and Beth is known around the world as a top-flight psychologist, trauma expert, and gifted healer. Together, they inform and inspire people to recycle and repurpose their lives through the currency of a healed life from breakups and divorce, addiction, failure, loss, and change. Tune in for regular live broadcasts and the opportunity to dive deeper in one-on-one transformation. Please welcome back Beth and Gil to News for the Soul.
Welcome back, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
We're live.
Ooh. And alive.
That's kind of what we get for our kids, too. Hey, kids. Hey. All right.
Hi, Nicole.
How are you guys doing? What's new?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. We got all the in-laws in town.
We got a lot of what's new, personal and professional.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting.
Yep. Always, always. We just went down. We got finished with a speaker's boot camp down in Miami. So we're getting ready to do some deep dives into healing solutions, and Beth and I are going to get more out there speaking and things like that. So this is a lot of fun to do this and kind of keep our chops decent as we go.
Yes, thank you for helping us with our chops.
Our chops, our chops. Yeah.
Happy
like,
to do
like,
it.
Oh, my gosh.
What's
I know,
going on over there?
Yeah.
What's
happening in Canada? Give us a little more, like, soothing Canada kind of.
You know, I think the biggest news is globally, not just in Canada, but I think the biggest thing is really feeling a shift towards spring, new life.
Good.
Oh, that's good.
That
yeah.
would be wonderful.
Wouldn't it?
You know? Yeah, it would. And, you know, I think for us, too, we wanted to kind of kick off a spring kind of, you know, new
spring
series.
Cleaning.
Yeah, a little, yeah, spring cleaning, kind of talking about, you know, how to keep your identity in a world where it's being stolen left and right by cultural kind of winds. And so we thought, you know, what if we talked about this whole thing of identity theft in ways that the culture can steal those things from you, where you just kind of don't really know who maybe you are anymore. You have an imposter syndrome where you feel like, you know, do I have to be a chameleon in this room versus another room? And where can I really be who I really am? And to be honest, how do I even know who I really am? And how do I take that into a world that is in desperate need of people who are authentic and transparent? And so we thought, you know what, let's do a couple weeks on that and talk a little bit about what are the winds of the culture and what do they say to us in this area of identity. And so we thought, you know, since we are love and healing solutions, solutions when it comes to love and healing, let's talk about a solution on this one when it comes to, you know, in a world where basically our identity is stolen, and in a lot of ways, it's stolen by, you know, we said like held up by hookups. You know, what does it mean to be whole in a romantic relationship? How do I bring myself full on, especially in a world where, you know, all you got to do is bring up an app, and all of a sudden, before you know it, you're down at the local pub with somebody, or you blow that off maybe because you're scared, or, you know, how do we kind of bring our whole selves into a relationship with someone? And I think, you know, Beth and I have been doing this for, gosh, coming up on 4 or 5 years now, you know, and just even our own lessons and how we've done that. So anyway, we were just going back and forth about it. And I thought, you know, back when back in the day, right, and maybe your listeners remember this, there's that movie that came out called Titanic. It was back in 1997. I remember watching that for the first time. And there's this song that Celine Dion sings, right? And it's the whole, it's this anthemish deal, right? Where
yep.
Jack is behind Rose on the front of the boat, the Titanic, and she's like, Jack, like I just feel like I've never felt before. Like my whole life is in front of me, and it can be amazing because she's in this awful relationship with this guy who is completely a jerk. And then, but he has money, right? And then she's got this dude that she's met on the boat who is this kind of stowaway. And he's a poor kid. And yet around him, she feels fully alive. So there's this song, right? And he goes, near, far, you know, wherever you are, right? Like, man, Celine Dion, only she knows how to sing these songs. You know, I believe that the heart does go on, right? Once more, you open the door and you're here in my heart. And my heart will go on and on. This song comes on and we just go, oh, this can happen. You know, you're here. There's nothing to fear. And I know that my heart will go on, right? We'll stay forever this way. You are safe in my heart. And my heart will go on. And when that song comes on in our home, Beth goes to the front door and she opens her arms up. And I come and swoop in behind her.
Yeah.
And we just sing to our neighborhood.
Yeah.
About how our hearts are going on and on. It's amazing. And everybody in our neighborhood runs away because they know better.
Uh-huh.
They know better. They know there's another side to this Jack and Rose thing. And it was sung by someone a little bit after this.
Lady Gaga.
Her name is Lady Gaga. And Lady Gaga brought another extreme view when she had a song called Bad Romance. And even the behind it goes, rah, 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 rah. Seen the video. It goes like this. I want your ugly. I want your disease. She's had some really wacky relationships. She goes, I want your everything as long as it's free. I want your love. I want your revenge. I want your horror. I want your design. I want your bad romance as long as you're mine. And it's rah, 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 rah. I mean, it is brutal. And at the end of the video, Nicole, at the end of the video, she's in bed with this guy, and he's been burned to a crisp. And he's this skeleton. Oh, it's awful. And her whole song is about yuck. Just yuck. So Beth and I, we grab Celine Dion's song. And we run out farther into our neighborhood. And we sing. But seriously, right? Our cultural whims on this completely miss kind of the middle, which is kind of what our culture does, right, in everything.
Yeah.
And it's got this picture of your relationship will either be this wonderful, like, dream come true thing, or it's going to be burned up in a bed where there's nothing but ashes and just blech, right? And so then we walk away from those two songs, and I don't know about you, but I get a little schizophrenic. I'm like, well, is there anywhere in here that can talk about how to really grab my identity back? Because I know my identity is never wanting to be Pollyanna. I don't want it to be that, you know, this whole, gosh, I can't even imagine. I don't ever want anybody talking to me that has a Jack and Rose kind of relationship like that. I don't think that that's really true. I think that's Pollyanna, and I think it's actually BS. But I also think there's this other part where you get people that are freaking jaded. And I'm dealing with it right now with one of my kids. Who just says to me, I kid you not, Nicole, I kid you not. I have two boys and two girls. And one of my sons says to me, and he's in his 20s, and he goes, Dad, I hope you don't care about your line, your name. Don't going on from you. She goes, generationally, I will never have a kid because I'll never have a relationship. I am so over it. I'm like, man, dude, you're in your 20s. You need to be going to see the movie Titanic still. Like, you need to go see Titanic with Jack and Rose. Get a little hope in there, kid. And it's so funny because he goes, I just hope it's not important to you to have your generational name, you know. And I go, I haven't even thought about that one second.
Exactly.
I don't give a rip. I mean, man, I'm not identified with that part of life. I know there are people that are, and I just want to say, holy crap. I get it, you know, okay. But there's that side, too, that just goes, I'm so jaded, and I'm so out. And so it's either this kind of, you know, perfection, Pollyanna dream come true, or it's, I'm out. I hope you don't want your name. You don't want your name going on. I'm going shock and awe scorched earth on this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So are we going to say?
I was going to say, I think you must have missed Nicole. Gil missed you because you're really fired up.
Oh, I love it so much.
I'm so fired.
I almost called Nicole the other day just to talk with Nicole. Where are you? Are you good?
Well, I think that the issue here is, and you said something earlier, Gil, you said our identity is taken away. No, we give it away.
Yeah.
You know, we give it away. And we give ourselves away to someone else or become like them and give away our own interests and give away what we really believe or what we really feel in our heart because we'd rather do that than be by ourselves. So one of the things that I think with this identity theft that we're talking about is that and I think this is so funny if we think about it, and it's also like really maddening, but it's also funny. We choose someone at our own level of emotional development. Now, that's a little scary.
I must be amazing. I am amazing. Thank you.
I think you are. But no, if you look back at your relationship over time, you know, and it's everyone say, oh, my ex is this and that. It's like, well, it's true. Okay, if you choose someone in a resonating field with a resonating frequency or at the same level of emotional development, they may have a totally different personality. They may have totally different issues and a different history. But we choose someone at the level of our emotional development at the time that we choose them.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I agree. It's
a yikes. So, yeah, but I think we can learn. I think we can learn a lot from that, though.
Well, I would even say this, then.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the question shouldn't be, are we on the same wavelength? The question then should be at that point of, do you want to develop with me?
Right. Well,
because I've never wanted to stand still, but I think there was this thought of this person's going to want to come with me.
Right.
We just got done talking about a couple. Beth and I do some couples work, and we look at each other, and there's someone in this relationship that we know of that has just said, I'm out of hope. I'm out of desire. I'm just going to quit everything that I've got in my life, and I'm not going to tag along with you to go grow. I mean, to me, that's a biggie.
Yeah.
That's a huge, huge thing. So, when you say that, the first thought I have is that you're still not doomed if you are picking someone at your own emotional level and you realize later that it's not very developed, that's still okay as long as they want to grow with you.
Mm-hmm.
Where it gets dicey is when one person decides,
right,
I'm restless and I'm going to go grow, I'm going to develop and throw down a marker to say, come on, and the other person goes, no.
Well, right. I think if I wasn't this way before, but if I had any level of maturity, I hope I have some more now than I did before, you'd say that ahead of time. You know, are you interested in growing? Because some people really aren't. Some people aren't interested in transformation and growth. They want to get together, hunker down, create a life, not change anything. Because how many times have you heard when we've worked with people or at their retreat we did?
Yeah.
you know, how many times have you heard, well, this is how you were when I married you. Why do you want to change? You know, that's not the person I married. You were this person. And then one of them wants to change.
Yeah.
Right. So, but I think the point on this part is that we get into relationships and expect that relationship to fill the hole in our soul.
Right on.
Or the hole in our heart. And that's when the identity theft occurs, when we give our identity away. Because we expect another person, which is never accurate. We expect another person to fill that hole. And another person is never going to fill that hole. I don't care how great your connection is.
No way. That's right.
So, unfortunately, it ends up being a twisted connection because we expect that person to fill that void. And then we're mad at them because they don't.
Yeah, I remember a good friend of mine, actually, out of Louisiana, one of my favorite guys of all time. He helped me at a really crucial time in my life. And I remember him telling me this. I was single at the time. I was divorced. I had 4 kids. And he looked at me and he just said, my wife and I, we just remind each other a lot that, like, we're not the end all for each other. And I remember when he first said that, I was like, whoa.
Huh.
Like, what's that about? But he was healthy about it. He was like, we never expected either of us to fill our cups. We expected us to love each other and to be in there, but we knew we were two massively flawed individuals who were on a road of development. We wanted to grow. And so he just kind of came out and said to me, he goes, you know, sometimes we have to remind each other that we're not that, because the minute we put one of us in that role that only God can be that role. I mean, this is a spiritual show here, right? It's news for the soul, which means that there are people believe in an open system. They believe that God can come and do some miraculous things in our lives. And this is a guy that really believed that. So he said, boy, I just remember when he first said it, I thought, I don't hear that very often. It's either my marriage is amazing, you know, or it's I'm toast, you know?
Yeah.
And he was saying, it's neither. I don't expect that from my wife, is what he was saying. And she doesn't expect to be me to be the end all for her.
Yeah, that's that old Jerry Maguire movie.
That's right.
You were talking about.
Yeah.
You come to me. Oh, really?
That's a dangerous comment.
Well, it's a dangerous comment. That is a dangerous comment. That identity just got hijacked right there.
It's so true, though. Like, when I first saw that movie, I was like this, like, I can't wait for the elevator to say that to somebody.
Like,
I did.
Me too.
I was
too.
Like, man.
Me too. I'm a Pisces. I had no choice. Yeah, that's I mean, that romance, that romantic ideal is out there.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so Nicole, I really, and I do miss you, but, like, I get excited no matter. I'm a pretty excited guy. But so I love Frank Sinatra. I don't know, maybe I think Frank Sinatra is like, he's amazing, right? For generations and generations. So I've been listening to this one album he has out, and it came out, obviously, back in like 1955.
Yeah, I heard you listening.
Oh, I love this guy, right? And so he's my shower music right now. And so, I don't know, maybe I have shower music right now. Like for March, it's Sinatra. So almost all these songs are just like massively codependent.
Oh, are they?
Like, I'm listening to songs and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, his whole thing is, my life, Sinatra, right? My life, it's not I did it my way. It's whatever you think of me is how I am.
Yeah.
Like, almost every song is, well, how are you doing today? Well, it depends on what you think of me. You know what I mean? And I'm listening to this going, this is utter trash. Like, I mean, I love the music, but these lyrics are just garbage. Like, if I bought into all that, I'd have you so pedestaled.
Yeah, it's not healthy.
Beth, it would be awful. You'd be like, ugh, get away from me. Because, I think it sells songs, right?
Of course it does.
Which is why I think our culture goes there. I mean, if you want to sell music, either talk about how great this thing's going to be because you're codependent and all of a sudden she comes through or he comes through, or you just go Lady Gaga and go, I'm out. And then people buy either of those records. you can't be like, and I get the reality of it. Here's what it is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Anywhere in the middle doesn't sell.
True.
But that's our culture.
Anyway,
all to say is that, yes, Jerry Maguire is the whole, I remember that 1996 when that movie came out. Man, I grew a lot until I met you. Thank goodness. Anyway,
all right.
What were you going to say? You just into this?
I don't remember, no.
All right, so two things.
Frank Sinatra got in my head.
Did it get in your head?
Yes. Now I can't. Yeah. Now I'm like, oh, that's right about the lyrics. So I just lost
it. It is so true.
I lost my thought. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Well, I think the bottom line is really this, right? We look for things to fill the pain in our hearts and in our lives from the past. You know, and the truth is, honestly, and I tell clients this all the time, and myself, I mean, the truth is that we all want to be loved. We all need love in our lives at some level, in some way. We need loving experiences.
Yeah.
And we all want that. We all want to be loved. But I think we get the wrong ideas from, like, what you're talking about, you know, songs and stuff in our culture. But we all do want to be loved. And I also think we all want to love others. And we want to love the world. I mean, look what Nicole does with her show and her network, right? It's like, that's about loving people. That's about helping people and serving one another. And we all want that. We all want to love and to serve and to love and to help and to give love and to be loved. And then that is what can fill us up, is serving and loving and giving. But it's not that person is going to fill this for me. You know, that's very different. And I think that's what's important, is we chase things or people.
Yeah.
Now we chase things and people to fill that hole. Like, oh, you know, if I have that house, you know, all the material stuff, if I have those things, I'm going to feel great. No, you don't, because, you know, by next month you won't. It'll be something else, or, you know, this person. And that's never the answer. It's never the answer, but it's what we're fed. You know, it's what we're fed in our culture. So then that's the identity theft, is we lose our true self by believing that false belief.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah, and I think, you know, and Beth and I were talking about this, we thought, you know, for your listeners, there's kind of two signs if you know that you're, this is how you'll know you're an idol. We call it an idol chaser. It would be like if I said, Beth, you need to be all of this for me. Or I actually have a friend of mine who he's a God guy, right? So he married this girl, and it's funny, he came around. I mean, his wedding was great. I was at it. It was really fantastic. And then recently he's, like, sending me an email like, well, she wasn't nearly as, you know, a God person as I thought, you know. And then all of a sudden.
Now we're judging people about that.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, But really, what I want to say is I really think it's a healthy thing to actually sit down with somebody, and I mean, do this, and just to say, I'm really sorry that I pedestaled you. I'm really sorry that I made you an idol. I'm really sorry that I judged you to be this kind of person, and it was really on me, not on you. I put you in a place that you were never meant to be.
Right, that's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's really healthy to be able to say that. To be able to say, wow, I did. I kind of bought into the Titanic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of bought into Jack and Rose picture, and I just want to say that, you know, though my heart was in the right place, and I was, you know, an idealist. It's okay to say, you know what, you were never meant to be that. You didn't sign up for that either. And I'll bet there's some people pretty miserable out there who feel like, wow, I thought I was really good for you, you know. And then all of a sudden you're out. You know, it's like, well, you're this or that. So I just think there's two things that you want to look at that happens when we give our hearts to someone that really was never meant to be in that place. Just kind of an idol. You know, you're an idol chaser when you are. You're the word is burn, right? You find yourself being burned or you find yourself being bitter. Those are the two words I want you to think on. And the burn piece goes, you know, you are probably living at the end of Lady Gaga's song, right? You're probably going, you're burned to death, you're toast, you're done, you're just a bunch of bones and ashes. And I again, this is where, like, when this guy emailed me this week and said, I'm just so disappointed and this and that, and, you know, I got that, you know, she's not nearly what I thought she was. I'm like, dude, like, and then he's feeling burned. And I'm looking at him going, you put her in a place you never should have put her in.
Yeah, he made her an idol.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine living with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's like, well, mm-hmm. you know, so you start saying things like, you know, I'm done with dating or I'm never getting married again or I can't, you know, you say, well, screw it. Life just is this ultimate cesspool and I'm getting out. You know, this world's like a sewage tank. Really, I'm serious. Like, I don't even know why I was born, you know. I mean, I've heard it all. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is really true. These are words that come out of people's mouths when they feel so burned. It's like, I don't even know why God, you know, put me on this earth. You know, I'm like, well, God, maybe you should learn something. There's a great opportunity to learn something here. Like, maybe to even say, I need to reconsider my strategy for how I've done.
For living.
Yeah, my strategy. It's my strategy that has failed me.
Yes, not the other person.
Yeah, you know, it's my strategy that needs to shift, and I better mm-hmm. figure that out. You know, I better figure that out. And so I think that burn piece, and I think you've experienced it, and so have I, where, you know, and I mean, even maybe you've experienced this some in your life. I mean, I know there's been times when I think I've kind of wondered about that whole thing. But I think that's a huge sign of an idol chaser, is that you just feel like I'm out, you know, I'm out. And then we start kind of playing games with this one. We shift in who we really are to get our needs met. If you're kind of still in this place, you keep trying and trying and trying again in relationships. And then all of a sudden you start coming back saying, I was never meant for this. I'm the one who's been, you know, I'm the outlier. I'm the weird guy. So you just get all this back and forth, these kind of words that come out of people's mouths who just are saying this because they're so been burned. They just want to protect themselves the rest of their lives. I will never do that again. I'm out. I've done Tinder. I've done Grindr. I've done Match. I've done, you know, I've done that farm one even, right?
Farmers.com.
I'm looking for a girl who milks cows. I've even done that. I've done that Wendy's chick with those, you know, those ponytails. I've done everything, you know, and I'm done. So
I want to share this because it's really good.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, we're talking about identity theft, right? Giving your identity away. But we know identity theft is a real thing. So like over 10 million people are affected by identity theft. You know, and it's more than that actually this year. That's a little bit of an old
stat.
Like
5 years, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I love this story that Gil shared with me, that there was this guy living in California, and he found out in the mail that someone had used his name to buy a $1 million home in Columbus, Ohio. And at the end of it, he said, it's pretty terrifying when you find out someone else has been living your life. So I think that's what we're getting at with relationships. We let other people, like the Frank Sinatra song, tell us how we are based on what they think about us that day. And they tell us who we are based on their perception of us. And we take that in as true. So we let someone tell us how we are and how we live our lives. And they live our life for us in that way, which is very twisted and very unhealthy connection. And then we do that to other people, too.
Yeah, that's really good because I think there's this – I had someone say to me a while back, I was single and I've been single a while, and I was totally moping. I was like a big old St. Bernard, you know, slobbering on everybody. Oh. And this woman looked at me and she goes, man, are you tired of giving your power away?
Oh, wow, good for her. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny because I had just married she and her husband, right? I was the pastor that married this couple.
Yeah.
And so I think I was complaining. I was probably even at the reception because that's what pastors do. They go right, they marry the couple and then complain.
That's really funny.
I was so healthy back then. I was just really healthy. And but I remember I was complaining to them, actually, as a couple later. I wasn't written during that, but I mean, I'd done the ceremony, I don't know, a year before, and I went to them, actually, to see how they were doing. And then they asked me how I was doing, and then I did the whole mopey thing. But really, she looked at me, and they both did, and they said, "Why are you tired of giving your power away?"
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, God, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you're teaching this stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And yet that's what was happening. And I love what you're saying. It's not, people aren't stealing it. We're giving it. We are giving it to them. And I'll say this to all the listeners out there. Like, and I'll say it, you know, are you done giving all your power away? I mean, you're pretty awesome. Why do you keep giving that to people that really were never meant for it? You know? And are you tired of doing that yet? You know, I mean, I had to come to the place. I love this. You know, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired in relationships. And actually was at the place where I thought, I'm okay if I never get one. And I meant that. Mm-hmm. I was okay with that. And I think when I became okay with that without complaining and being a weirdo about it. Sorry, Beth just had a, just something went down the wrong tube there. But I think that that's something that, you know, you're going to want to be really saying to yourself and really asking yourself honestly, or have friends in your life that, that say, hey, are you done doing that? You're actually really great. You're just a really, really great person. I know you don't maybe think that or know that, but you are. You know, you have unbelievable gifts and talents and an unbelievable way. I know deep down you know how to do life. And so just make sure you hold on to that. And anytime you're with someone, you're going to give them a piece of your heart. Make sure it's the right, you know, just make sure. Go slow. Make sure you're doing that in that kind of way. And then I think that's the burn piece. And just be honest, like, hey, I'm in a place where I'm kind of burned. I'm feeling like I have given my power away a lot, and that's something I need to stop doing. And then we're going to talk about how to make sure you stop doing that here in a little bit and how to do that. And then I think the next one is bitterness. You know,
that turns into that.
Yeah. So, yeah, when you feel burned, right, then the more you feel burned, then the more bitterness is going to pop up. And here's a key thing I want you to know, okay, in this, romantic relationships are where our triggers that were planted at a young age through trauma, you know, is where our triggers that were planted at a young age grow into redwood trees. That happens in romantic relationships. It doesn't happen in other, I mean, it can happen a little bit, but where they blossom, where these things become these redwood trees that were planted way back in your childhood, that's where romantic relationships come in. And I really believe this. God ordained this, and it's not to hurt us. Some people are like, well, I'm not into the institution of covenant relationships, you know. I'm like, well, why not? Well, because I've been so burned before. I'm like, well, maybe that's not a God thing, and maybe that's something that you have bought into a grid. But the bottom line is, you know, these redwood trees blossom in romantic relationships, where these triggers were planted long ago. And what we're doing is we're hoping these triggers will go away when we're around this other person. We do. This is what I love this. When somebody starts dating someone they really like, right, they'll go, when I'm around her, I'm telling you, it's amazing. Things are just so, I just seem to be a really great guy, or, you know, whatever, around this person. And then about, 72 hours later, they're like, this sucks. You know, I'm like, well, of course. You know, you ever done that? I mean, I feel like doing this on social media. People get on social media and they'll go, look who I just met. And there's a picture of them and they look so good together and they're smiling. And then for about, 3 months, that's all you see. Look, this is, I have a really good friend that did this recently. I'm going to get him for this. And so he did. He did. And I'm buying into it on social media. I start to realize this is maybe one of the best reality TV shows I've ever seen. It's on, you know, but it's online. So I'm like, I'm watching for this guy. And he's always got the better, like even a better picture that he's shown. This one is with she and I. Look at us. We're wearing the same clothes. You know, they're doing all this stuff. It's like they're buying, look, same pajamas. You know, I mean, it's just like, I'm not kidding. It's like, whoa, okay, dude, you're taking a little far. But he's doing all this, right? And then there wasn't anything for a while. And then the next thing I know, there's a new girl. And he's starting the process again. And I did. I got on there.
No way.
Yep. And I got on there and I said, dude, there's a bunch of us out here that have spent hours looking at your sappy PJs and all your BS, you know. we deserve to know what happened to that last relationship. I want closure. I do.
So
because
yeah.
Because what happened is, right, is that romantic relationships, I've stated over and over again, are where our triggers that were planted at a young age through trauma grow into redwood trees. And we are really young and undeveloped when we believe and still believe that this person's going to be my savior out of those.
Yes, that's right.
And they're not.
And that their love is going to heal those.
Yes.
Things. That's the belief. Their love is going to heal these things. I thought that my whole life, Gil. I'm not kidding you. I thought, and I thought, I remember telling you this, all I ever wanted in my life was to feel loved by a man.
Yeah.
That's it. Why? Because of my old pain with my dad, who happens to be here this week. So, but no matter who he is today, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It didn't change what happened
right.
in the past
yeah.
and how I, then the pain that I had, right?
Sure.
So I remember feeling that my whole life. If I just find the right guy, it will heal all that old pain with my dad. So then
yeah.
we subconsciously keep looking and looking and looking, and we will
yeah.
never find it because that's not going to be the answer. But I'll tell you what, we try for decades,
yeah.
sometimes a lifetime. So, yeah, I mean, that's what we do out of that old pain. We think, well, someone can fill that place where, what you know, whatever it is with a parent. Usually it's with a parent that, you know, things were not good and they were traumatizing
right.
or you didn't feel loved or paid attention to or whatever happened. So you search for that love your whole life. From that parent that you feel let you down, right?
Yeah.
yeah, and then there you have it. And then that, it turns into the burn, which turns into the bitterness. Because,
right.
well, I thought you were this person.
Yeah.
I thought we had this agreement, right? But, yeah, you're right. I love that statement. Our triggers
true.
That were planted at a young age grow into redwood trees in relationships. That's really true. Because we're hoping beyond hope for something unrealistic.
You know, it's interesting you say that, and I know maybe this is something that your listeners, Nicole, kind of have heard or whatever, and I know sometimes it gets poo-pooed, but
mm-hmm.
ultimately, I think father wounds and mother wounds, it all depends,
yeah.
are
yeah.
just a massive, massive piece that you want to look at. And, you know, Beth is the best in the world at helping people do their trauma work around this. And I think it's because, you know, you've been there and so have I, right? So my dad and I really had it out. And it was interesting. Like he never, well, I could go on. It's unbelievably abusive. I don't need to go into that. But one of the things that I won't kid you, and I'll never forget the first time I felt valued by a girl, right? I think it was in second grade.
Oh, yeah, you'll never
forget. You know what I mean? And she was like, I walked into class and she was like, go, you know what I mean? Right. And I'm like, all of a sudden I'm singing the Celine Dion song. You know what I mean? Like I'm in second grade. You value me. Remember that when Sally Field got in front of the Oscars, like, I don't know, 20 years ago, she got her first Oscar and they were clapping for her and she went,
yeah.
You like me. You really like me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was like in second grade. It was like, you like, when I was valued, it was like an oasis in the middle of an emotional desert. So you just know, like there's no fault in that. It just means I needed to spend time doing what I think you really are the best in the world at. And that is, I don't even want to talk about this, is that what does it take for someone to finally come to the place where they'll do their trauma work? Because
to be honest with you, what does it take for someone to come to a place to really want to do their trauma work?
Mm-hmm.
Usually, bad health. That's an unfortunate truth. But the news is it's an opportunity to heal. Now, most people don't seek out help, especially men, until they're really sick. You know. I remember Wayne Dyer saying one time, you know, he said it's an unfortunate reality, and I'm paraphrasing, but I went to see him in Maui when I lived there, and he said something to the effect of, it's an unfortunate reality that it takes hitting rock bottom to decide to look at
yourself and what you need to do to heal, you know. And he had been a foster child. You know, he was in the foster system and had a very abusive childhood. And, you know, I think, and he went through a lot. And then he was willing to really look at himself and then look who he became, you know, for our world. And I think our world misses him a lot because he had a really beautiful voice about a lot of issues. You know, and that was one thing he said, isn't that unfortunate that we have to just hit that rock bottom in that really hard place in order to say, I want to work on myself. Yeah. I want to explore myself and my history and do the work that I need to do, you know, that we have to go to that place. But that's okay. At least we have an opportunity then, you know, it's like, okay, you're still here. You have an opportunity to grow and you have an opportunity to heal, you know, and even for you, Gil, for both of us, I mean,
yeah.
I had terrible health.
Yeah.
I mean, I was chronically ill and didn't know why in any way, shape, or form until I started doing my trauma work and figuring out what happened to me that I had totally blocked and all this stuff. You know, same thing for you. I mean, you had abusive life, and then all of a sudden it hit the skids.
Yeah.
And then you do something, right? I mean, that's the human nature. That's when we do something. So, I mean, honestly, yeah, that's when people are ready, is when things aren't working anymore, either in their health, their physical health, or they keep losing jobs, or, you know, they keep losing people in their lives, or they've developed a significant addiction, you know, whatever that is, where it finally, like you said in the beginning, they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and then they'll look at it.
Yeah, I think it's really important for some of your listeners, Nicole, on this one, and no, I say it's like, please get to the point where you're willing, like with all of you, to look at this. Because I'll talk to dudes and they'll say to me, well, Gil, I've done therapy. And really, you want to say, no, you didn't. Well, Gil, I've done this. You know, I went and did whatever it was. I went to rehab. Yeah, it's fine. You know, it takes more. It takes about 3 or 4 times for people to go to treatment for addiction reasons for them to finally get it, because it's not because the treatment was bad, though. I mean, there's some treatment places that aren't great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because they weren't ready. I'm not kidding you. When I went to treatment, it could have been with, you know, Mo, Larry, and Curly. I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to heal because I had done so much therapy. But here's what I was doing when I was going to therapy. And by the way, this is not known. It wasn't like, this is so subconscious for me when I was in therapy. It was like this. I'm not rock bottom yet, and I don't want to admit it. So what I really need is just some Band-Aids. So therapy became some Band-Aid clotting for me, right? It was like, well, I'm going to see if I can do these things after a divorce and after a couple of relationships went south, and I'm just not, you know, I'm going to go get smarter. And I tell you what, I became the smartest dumb person in relationships of all time. I could sit there and tell you things. You go, whoa, where'd you get that? I go, well, I've read 50 books on it. Mm-hmm. And I was so theoretically solid and so practically dumb. Because I still had not gone with this idea of, I need a deep down heart surgery on this, where I am under anesthetic and I sit in there and the surgery gets done. Up until then, it was always emotional outpatient. It was always, you know, oh, I'm just going to go get my little, you know, checkup. That's why I went to therapy for checkups, where I needed to go for a heart transplant. And I think ultimately I got that, but it was only when I did really truly hit rock bottom. Up until then, I mean, I've got somebody in my life right now that is really near and dear to me. And they're always saying to me, I got this. They're always saying.
Oh, and they don't. And
every time I talk to them.
They say, I got this, but they don't.
Yeah. They literally almost got killed the other day.
Yep.
On the road, nearly got killed. Drunk out of their minds, and still said to me, I got this. I'm like, Miles, you got this? Holy smokes, do not tell anyone else.
God.
Don't. Now you're freaking so messed up. You're so messed up, you're lying to yourself. That's how messed up you can get. Self-deception is the worst, especially when everybody around you is going, dude. So I just want to say what you said is so right on, and that is usually it takes till I finally have a doctor look at me and go, you're dying. And that to me is the saddest. Like like you said, though, it's probably true. You have to hit rock bottom one way or the other until you finally say, okay, I'm in. I'm going to go get this trauma work done. Otherwise, you know, my romantic relationships are going to blow up in a million ways.
Well, that's like
people do with their children all the time. Oh, I wish my child would learn from my mistakes. They never do. They never do. They're not going to. No, they live it out. They get to a place in their life, and then they'll you know, work through it or ask for help or whatever. I mean, yeah, it just doesn't work that way. But, you know, I mean, I work with many people with chronic conditions, and they have gone to doctors, and the doctors don't know what's wrong with them. And they have had every test done under the sun, and they tell them they're fine, and they're not fine. They feel terrible. They can't get out of bed, or they've got migraines. Oh, we don't know why. So, you know, most people that I work with they're looking for answers because they don't have them. I mean, when your physical body breaks down, most people in our culture do not think of what the truth is, which is my perceptions create the reality in my body. How I perceive the world creates whether I am healthy or sick. How I perceive the world is based on what was my early life, what was the trauma that I experienced, what was my childhood like, what happened, you know. And we are automatically programmed robots under the age of 5. We are programmed by our environment, and we are programmed by our parents, and then that's how we believe we are in the world. And then we carry that out. And then we end up not doing so well, of course, because we are an imposter. We're not who we think we are. When we get to the truth of who we really are, which you can do by doing work like what I do and other methods as well, finding out the truth and dialoguing with, I dialogue with the energy system, find out what's going on. What's this trauma from? What was happening? What are the beliefs that you have about yourself that aren't true? You know, what's the unconscious intention as to why you're sick or why this symptom is there? And digging into that, you know, then you can learn who you truly are, and you can learn to love yourself for the first time.
Yep.
You know, and that's what I'm talking about.
Well, no, I think that's really big because, you know, you and I have looked at each other about even just our extended families. And we desire so much health for them. We want them to be healthy and whole like we do everybody, like our friends, right? And I just know how many times you and I will look at each other and go, man, I'm really surprised that person hasn't come to the place where they finally say, hi, I need help. There's still this idea. I think it's an American, maybe a Canadian idea too, where it's like, I can do this. I don't need you. It sounds like if I need you, then I'm weak, and it's just you're not. The strongest people I know face themselves. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I agree.
They are the badasses of my life. They're the people that went, I'm going to face my dragons, and I'm facing them down. And I'm going to embrace parts of me that I haven't, I've been scared of, and I'm going to figure out how to do life in a way that I have to, you know, I leash those things. They're still there. They're in my life. You know, you say this, Beth says this to me all the time. She goes, Gil, I love that you have an edge. And I believe that nobody wants to marry somebody boring. But sometimes that's just what you do. Is that, you know, there's dudes out there that have edges that still can say, I've dealt with them so that they won't take. Like, I look at you and me as an us. We're an us. And ultimately, I look at that and I go, I want to be a healthy part of the us because I don't want to be a guy that brings us down in any way, shape, or form. And I know I have stuff in me, but I faced it down. Those are the strong people to me. They're the dudes out there that can look at me and say, man, I'll tell you, they have big edges. We just met one down in Miami, you know.
Yeah. Recently. Oh, yeah, Bert, yeah.
Yeah, you looked at me and you went, that dude, oh. Yeah, right?
Yeah. Well, I think part of it is that, you know, Vernon Howard used to say, and you've heard this so many times from different spiritual teachers, a life without self-examination is no life at all. And as people examine themselves and heal themselves and work on themselves, they become who they are. They become more vibrant. They become who they really are. And I don't think there's a boring person born in this world.
I don't either, but
I think they become it.
That's what I believe too.
Because
yep.
they feel they have to, whatever the case may be, protect themselves or be a certain way to be accepted. I mean, everyone is born with a flame of gift.
Damn straight. We're like Baskin Robbins, right? We got like 31, but then you get people that are like, well, I'm vanilla.
Well, because they felt like they had to be.
Well, yeah, it's the safest ice cream out there.
Yeah, I mean, I could name all kinds of people I know that aren't really that way. They're just that way because they thought they had to be that way. And that's really sad. But, yeah, I mean, this, and again, that for that person, they're struggling with identity theft, too. You know, I'll just always take the safe way. I'll always take the safe way and, you know, let someone else tell me what I'm going to do for fun this weekend. I don't get a vote. I'm just vanilla. I'll just sit here. I do my job, come home. Go to bed, you know. I mean, yeah, I don't allow anything else in my life because that's how I feel safe. And I mean, that's just the flip side.
I get it.
You know, so yeah, I mean, I think a lot of us, we do give our identity away to something that is not in our best interest and that is not in our highest good.
Well, I think there's something that I would just want to say, especially, well, to anybody, I think when somebody hears you say, because I used to do this, that they finally came to where they did their trauma work. Because once you do your trauma work, you can finally do your forgiveness work. You can't do your forgiveness work before it. And I think that's where the church can really mess this over. Because the church says, well, come on, Jesus forgave you. Just forgive them. And we have no idea how this, you know, plays out. And the reason that it's not playing out well, and I can say this from experience, is because I was trying to forgive people before I really did my trauma work. But I thought that if I do my trauma work, that's going to have me become this vanilla guy. It's going to have – that's what therapists do. They basically turn out a bunch of boring robots.
No.
And I want to say this, because that's not the case. So I want to say this, like, you don't give up. Matter of fact, you're not going to change – I love that, right? The leopard, you know, we're not going to change your spots. We help you adapt. I think that's the key here, right? Like, you have to learn how to deal with that trauma. Then you can forgive once you've dealt with that piece. We're not asking you to give up. That. I mean, if you were to say to me, Gil, you need to give up your head, that's like, yeah.
No, a lot of people's – no, your people's characteristics that have gotten them somewhere in life, like you have an edge that's gotten you somewhere in life. That characteristic came out of abuse for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can do your healing, but you still have the strength of your character, even though, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, this came out of an abusive or traumatic incident, but I like that part of me. But I can heal the trauma and be who I am, and I can say, you know what, yeah, that did come out of trauma, but I like that. I'm going to keep that about me.
Yeah.
And you can make that choice.
Yeah,
because a lot of people that are really successful have had really difficult childhoods.
Darn straight. Matter of fact,
yeah,
most
and it, yes, and they persevered, and yes. It made them, and it motivated them,
right?
So just because you do your healing work, you don't lose that. You know, you don't lose that edge. You don't lose the strength that you gained through all of that hardship in your life.
Well, I remember.
But a lot of people think that.
They do. I think that's one reason why they don't pick up a phone and call you. I think that's one reason why, you know, I'm just saying, I know dudes out there that look at me and go, well, you know, well, I don't know yet. Like, I still look, because, I mean, anybody that comes to you is not looking for a Band-Aid. People that come to you are looking for a complete overhaul, and they need to. And you give that to them very quickly and awesomely, and I love that. But I think this is a big one for people who go, I don't want to lose, like you said, I don't want to lose that. So, Nicole, when I started dating, yeah, we're wrapping it. This is final story, we'll get out of here. I remember I was dating Beth, and she noticed that I had a lot of, like, I would go, like, if there's a bully somewhere, I would be like, I'm going to nail that dude, you know, or whatever. I got fired up. And then Beth would say to me, you know, if you can empty out your weapons closet. You might want to keep a gun in there, so to speak. This is probably not a great example for our culture right now since people are gun happy. But I remember you saying, like, you don't need to have an atomic bomb. You don't need to go nuclear. You don't need to have that nuclear piece anymore. You're not an imminent danger. It's still good to have a piece of you that's a badass, but, you know, you don't need that. And I think that's don't know, that was really, that was a big deal for me. So anyway, there you go. Just want to encourage the folks that are listening that, hey, you know, yeah, do your work. Do your trauma work, and then you can forgive. That's when you can forgive. And we'll talk about that next week. We can do that.
Yeah, and be aware of giving away your identity.
Yep. That's it.
And check out.
And we are right at the tippy top of the top of the hour, so shameless promotion before you run off.
Yeah, check out our retreat that we did. It's online in our store at besthealingsolutions.com. It's hashtag why is love so hard. It was a relationship retreat, and I am not great at tooting horns, but it was really good.
Well, we had somebody the other day
who
watched it and said, I couldn't wait to see the next thing that would come out of your mouth about this.
Yeah,
it was that good. I'm just saying that, yeah, we have testimonies up and down. That'll take you to new levels in relationships when we talk about this kind of thing. So we get a little deeper about it, but that's what we talk about. So there you have it. Yep, get on there. BestHealingSolutions.com, hashtag why so love so hard retreat. There's 4 sessions. You can buy one or all 4, whatever you want to do. There you have it.
Yay. And they're all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. Epic spending time with you on the air. As always, looking forward to next time already. Take care, guys.
You too, Nicole. Love you, Nicole.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.